Welcome to the Evolving Accountant Podcast. We all know that some accountants can be boring, but definitely not this one. Why talk trial balances and P&L when we can get ripped jeans into the boardroom and hear business insights from people who have really walked the talk? Get ready. Here comes an all-new episode with your host, Darren Wingfield.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Evolving Accountant Podcast, powered by Harlan's Accountants. I'm delighted to be joined today by Claudio Owusu, co-founder from Snack Gusto. Hi, Claudio. Welcome to the show. For our listeners out there, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, but more importantly, what your drive is to get out of bed in the morning?
That's interesting. Firstly, Darren, thank you very much for having me. So again, my name is Claudio Owusu, born and raised in Italy. I spent basically majority of my lifetime over there till I was 18. As we're speaking now, I'm 26. So moved to London roughly in 2013. I used to play football professionally at the time. And when I moved to London, I thought perhaps I could focus on my football career, and it was likely to also advance since this sort of the land of football. But then I quickly realized that that wasn't going to work. So I had to essentially focus on my studies and also try to basically pay my rent by working various jobs. So I worked at Tesco, worked at a warehouse, did a bit of cleaning jobs when I arrived. I did a bit of internships as well. So from there, I decided to basically to study sports management at university. So combining my love for sports with business. At the time, my sister was studying business in Ghana. My whole family is based in Ghana. So she was basically working for a bank. So I said, okay, let me try and combine business with sports. At university, ended up studying sports management. During basically my last year at university, that's where sort of the business or the entrepreneurship side of me kicked in. But I know that we will go more into how the business started. But I think to answer your question, what sort of drives me? Looking back, I've been amazed by how my life has transformed. As I said, from working as a cleaner, a Primark, working in a warehouse, a Tesco night shift, to wake up in the morning to go to college and also go to university. I've quickly realized that there's so much more to life. There's so much more that you can do as a human being. And the one thing that basically wakes me up in the morning is the ability to say, okay, how far I can go? How far can I go? And this basically continuously going through numerous challenges and saying really what is the real potential for myself. So that's the drive. I try to play an infinite game. So which means essentially it's never a win or loss situation for me, but it's rather to say, oh, how far can I go? And you know, what are the boundaries that I can break?
Amazing. So before we move on, we need to talk football. I'm not like, I don't let it go. Obviously, all the listeners know I'm a big Newcastle United fan. We need to understand how close we got in football terms here.
So in Italy, I was basically, I used to play Serie C. So that was basically, so you got Serie A, Serie B, Serie C, and the team's name was Salò at the time. I'm not sure what division they're in. But I used to play the under 21s. And then I moved away, came to London, but I came to London by myself. I didn't come with my mom at the time. I used to live in Italy with only my mom, but she was sort of tired after 20 years. So she wanted to go back to Ghana. And Italy does not allow you to sort of combine studies and work and live by yourself. So she said, okay, come to London. I heard that here students can juggle multiple stuff. So moved to London, lack of connections, you know, football is also about who you know. And slowly, when I started working, I slowly just, my performance just dwindled, just started going down, and lack of focus and a lot of that came in. So I actually came here and started working at Arsenal as a community sports coach. So I used to work with little kids. So really helping them sort of develop their football skills. So I still tried to stay in the football space. But then after university, then grassroots football, unfortunately, in this country doesn't pay a lot. You can make a living out of it. So I basically had to get myself a full-time job And yeah, and but that's how close I was. Perhaps I should have stayed in Italy, but I don't know.
we'll make that decision after we find out more about the business.
Yeah.
So obviously, in your words, can you describe what your business brand does?
So essentially, Gusto Snacks is an ethical focused brand on a mission to reduce food waste through healthy and innovative snacking. And the whole concept is trying to tackle food waste at the farm level. So farmers basically are unable to sell all their produce because of aesthetic reasons. And that's something, it's a topic that is widely discussed recently, which is something I'm really glad about, because that what is happening at the farm level is really outrageous. So we save these ugly fruits or rejected fruits from going to waste, and we transform them into air-dried apple crisps and mixed with various flavors. So one thing about the business is that when we started the idea, we thought perhaps we could tackle the problem by transforming the fruits into juices, which a lot of companies were doing. And I think Innocent is one of them as well. But we saw that space is very much congested. So what we wanted to do, what we thought about doing was, okay, if we transform them into other formats. So for example, we transform them into snacks. Nobody's actually tackling sustainability from that angle. And two, we can add flavors to it to bring innovation to the category. So basically, I'm not sure, Darren, if you have tried dried fruit in the past, but usually they tend to be very chewy.
Yes.
When you have your dried mango or you have your dried pineapple, whatever, they tend to be just one singular ingredient. And we said, okay, we can transform them into dried fruit crisps, but to have to label that as crisps, then they would have to be as crunchy as your potato crisps. So that's one thing we said, okay, we could do. And also we wanted to add flavor innovation to the product. So for example, if you look at the potato crisps market, they come in different flavors. So salt, vinegar, you name it, various flavors. But when you look at the dried fruit crisps, now there's no flavor innovation there. It's very, very boring. So we wanted to bring sustainability, add innovation, and also to ensure that the quality is much more advanced compared to the category.
Okay, perfect. Quick question on that. So when you're obviously talking about the aesthetics or the sight of the rejected growth produce from mm-hmm. farms,
yeah,
do we know roughly sort of what percentage would normally get rejected?
So yeah, so basically UK farmers and European farmers waste up to 28 million tons of food each year at the farm level.
Wow.
Which is a lot. And it's interesting because people don't know actually about this. Generally, people know about sort of the waste that occurs at the point of contact, so at the point of sale, so from supermarkets to homes. But actually, the whole supply chain, there's a waste occurring. So you can think of four apples starting from farm level to actually arriving home. Basically, for every journey, you waste half of each apple. And before it arrives home, then the food waste that occurs at each point is crazy. And I mean, there have been some solutions that have been presented to sort of tackle this problem. But I think it's much more education and trying to also change the consumer's perspective on how to see food and how to actually when you go to the supermarkets, not to sort of relegate some fruits. Oh, this apple looks ugly, so I'm not going to pick it. But actually, we need to try and give a chance to all types of fruit as long as they are edible and they are perfectly good to go.
Okay, perfect. So talking a little more about the food and drink sector or the FMCG marketplace. Interested to get your opinion on what you feel is the most important personality trait or the strength that someone would need to be able to survive or work in the sector. We know it's a fast-paced environment. We know there's a lot of problem solving. From co-founder of a business, if you were trying to mold the perfect person to become your right-hand man or woman, what would you be looking for?
There's huge emphasis when we talk about FMCG on sort of supply chain skills. You must know how to move products from A to B. I think that's a very crucial point. Because during that transaction, there's a lot of things that you have to juggle, from perhaps late deliveries, the delivery cost, perhaps arranging with your storage partner, how much goods they are receiving. So that's huge. There's a huge emphasis on that skill. That's something that I would really love. If you want to get yourself into food, I would definitely encourage you to basically to try and hone on a skill that is highly required in our industry, really.
Okay. Going back to the days when Snack Gusto was kicking off, but you call yourself a co-founder then. Now, back then you were probably known as an entrepreneur, someone trying to do something, trying to do something different. Every business owner, every entrepreneur loves a productivity hack, something that gives you that edge. What's yours?
So when it's interesting, because when we started the business, I always say this: knowing little or being naive is always a blessing, because you don't really know how much it's going to take you to actually get it done. And you always think, oh, you are perhaps 1 year away from becoming a millionaire. That's definitely untrue. That was what kept us going. We thought perhaps we wanted to absorb information, we wanted to learn, we wanted to advance our skills. And that's myself and also my business partner Giuseppe, who's also another founder. That's how we basically focused on. So what we used to do is we would basically reach out to people like yourself and ask for advice, and also try to go to network events, meetings, and basically try to speak to people about it. But for us, really, we knew that it's an opportunity, because both of us are from Italy. So you can already, in Italy, there's a huge sort of level of racism over there, being Black founders. When we came to London, we saw, wow, you know, this heaven. Although some people might argue that there's still a bit of racism, but it's fine. But it was, for us, we recognized there was a huge opportunity. There's a huge opportunity on this land, and we didn't want to sort of to let that go. So we doubled down on our work, and things kept coming our way, really.
Cool. So hard work, dedication, and graft.
Exactly.
So rolling back the times, thinking about when you were starting up and where you are now as a business, is there anything that you look back on in reflection that you see was a success, but right now or back then, you didn't expect it to be?
So when we started the business, something that we did, and I'm really proud about, we had just the idea. So during the ideation phase, we would go to the likes of NatWest, Unlimited, Santander. We would pitch the idea. We'll sort of attend this startup competition and win £5,000. So we would basically accumulate all these grants with just the idea. And that goes back to opportunities, right? So it's amazing how many startup competition or grants or organization out there that are willing to help small businesses. And we didn't have a product. So we had basically, I remember what we used to do is we would produce the products in our kitchen of how the dried apples are going to look like and how they are going to taste, although the quality wasn't that advanced. And on the other hand, we would basically print how the packaging is going to look like. So on the left hand, you had the product, and on the right hand, you basically had sort of the how the product is going to look like on the paper. So we would go to this startup event and pitch our idea to them, and basically they would see the packaging, would tell them the story, and we were able to accumulate some money to actually kickstart the business. That's something that I'm really proud about, because a lot of companies, when they have an idea, they go straight to sort of raising money, going straight to investors. But we really had the time to sort of to sharpen the idea, to speak to as many people as possible, to also sort of get feedback and improve the business model. And finally, to also build brand awareness. So even when the product wasn't here, people knew about us. Well, our network knew about it, because we were always constantly talking about it. So it really helped build that foundation. That's something at the time I thought that was a bit of, because it took us 2 years, and we thought, oh, this is a bit too much. Perhaps we need to get a product. We need to start selling. And business is all about selling. But actually, business starts way earlier, even before selling. So building the foundation of the business is still business.
Yeah, completely agree. So what's around the corner? What's coming next for the brand?
So now Resolute, so we basically, we are listed with a couple of wholesalers now. We have a B2B and a D2C model. So D2C, you can go on our website, Snack Gusto, and basically buy our products, or you can also find our products in stores. So what we are trying to do now is to partner with various retailers. We recently partnered with Selfridges. So that's basically our major retailer at the moment. I would say more recognized, but also we are listed in also various sort of independent shops across London. But in order to get distribution and grow the business now, we are in conversation with other major retailers, the likes of Virgin Voyage and also Amazon, and a couple more really that are in the pipeline. So now we are in growth phase really.
Okay. So the exciting times is coming.
Yeah. Finally.
So thinking about Claudio now, of today, if you rewind the time, and I appreciate it's slightly different with the football aspect of it, if you were telling Claudio then that one bit of advice that you wish you had known when you'd started back on your journey to coming across to London, et cetera, like that, what would you be telling yourself?
It's interesting because this question, I get asked this question a lot, and every time my answer changes, and I guess it's because I'm growing as a person, as an entrepreneur. But I think where the stage I am now and the advice that right now I have, I would say everything has a price. Everything has a price. Everything in life, you know, as little as it may seem, as big as your dream may seem, everything has a price. And you have to ask yourself, how much you are willing to pay that price, or what are you willing to give away to make your dream come true, or you know, to achieve something in life. And that's something that people really don't appreciate or understand. It's very easy to say you want X, Y, Z from life. At the time, certainly that was me. I would basically sit down and say, oh, I want this, I want that. But then I would put little focus on, okay, what do I need to do to sort of get this done? And when you acknowledge that, and you also come to that realization that in order to achieve this, I need to put in the work, the time, the money, whatever, because that's the price. Perhaps I would have to stay home when my friends are going out. I would have to stay home and double down on this work to make sure that I succeed. That's the price that is you need to pay. Perhaps not spending much time on your phone. That's another price you need to pay. So, everything I would say, the advice that I would have given myself, say, hey, things don't just come like that. You need to pay a price for it.
Okay. So one of our core values is we love to learn. So I always ask every guest, how do you learn? How do you take advice? Who do you take it from? And if you had a friend or a colleague that was looking to go through your journey, and they're like, have you got a recommended a business book that can help us? Which ones you go to?
I've read so many books. This book is escaping me. The Goal Giver.
Okay.
The Goal Giver. That's basically a sales book. I forgot the name of the author because I read a couple of years ago, but I think it comes in three editions. There's a green, blue, and red. It talks about this salesman that is struggling to close deals, is doing whatever he can to try and hit the targets without being fired. But throughout his journey, throughout that process, he basically sort of shifted his mindset into giving rather than taking. That's something that I've implemented in my business and trying to provide value to people. Because essentially, we are determined by the value we provide. Martin Luther King said, you know, not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great, because greatness is determined by service. And that's one advice that I would give to somebody who is listening, to perhaps to become of service. Because if the more valuable you are, the more people demand of you, the more you are demanded from people, that by people. The more you are able to put a price on your service. So basically focus on trying to develop yourself and trying to add value to people's life, because that once you are valuable, everybody would want you. And guess what? If you are in high demand, you can determine the price, and then the money follows.
Okay. Thanks for that. Finally, how do people find you if they want to find out more about yourself? Obviously more about the snacks and the brand. Where's the best place for them to visit?
preferred social media platform is LinkedIn. So you can find me, Claudio Owusu. The brand name is called Gusto Snacks, so G-U-S-T-O, Snacks. We are very active on various other social media platforms, and you can also find us. We have our personal website, but me personally, I'm very active on LinkedIn. People feel free to reach out.
Cool. Just want to say thank you for your time today. It's been great hearing your story, from kicking a football around in Italy to coming to London to taking this produce and turning it into something for the whole environment.
Thank you very much, Darren, for having me. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Evolving Accountant. You can find out more and get show notes for this and all our other episodes at theevolvingaccountant.co.uk.